It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Fox News alert, a monumental day in America with the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. I'm Dana Perino, along with Katie Pavlich, Jessica Tarlov, Martha McCallum, and one lucky guy, Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The 5. The Supreme Court sending the issue of abortion back to the states. The historic decision overturning the 50-year-old ruling on Roe v. Wade, which guaranteed women the right to an abortion. The federal right to an abortion. The move already having significant political, social, and cultural implications. Both sides of the debate gathering all day outside the high court as America absorbs the news. President Biden coming out today attacking the decision.
It's a sad day for the court and for the country. Now, with Roe gone, let's be very clear. The health and life of women in this nation are now at risk. It was 3 justices named by 1 president, Donald Trump, who are the core of today's decision to upend the scales of justice and eliminate a fundamental right for women in this country. It's a realization of an extreme ideology and a tragic error by the Supreme Court, in my view. But this decision must not be the final word.
For more, let's go to our chief legal correspondent, Shannon Bream. And Shannon, we were on television this morning together on America's Newsroom as the news broke. And you were so able to quickly read the decision, discern it. But I'm wondering now, just several hours later, how it's all settled in for you.
Yeah, a couple things. Interesting that this morning, Dana, normally what happens with the Supreme Court opinion, we have all that sound and fury in the morning, and then after the decision kind of settles in, the groups will go away. But we've got the opposite here today. More and more people are showing up here at the court. They are chanting, they are vowing, this is not going to be the end. It's interesting to hear a president of the United States say this can't be the final word, saying this to the judicial branch, to the independent branch from him. But for now, the Supreme Court is the final word on this. The left has been putting this in terms of taking away a constitutional right. But what the right has argued and what the court said today is there was never a constitutional right to an abortion under Roe. People across the political spectrum had worried that it had weak underpinnings. We talked about this. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was among those who worried that it was susceptible and vulnerable to challenge, exactly like what we've seen happen play out here today. Now, the president and the Speaker of the House have also made comments to the effect that you've got to get to the polls. Of course, it's smart for them to harness this politically, but they're saying things like contraception and same-sex marriage are now going to be at threat. And they're pointing to a line in a concurrence from Justice Thomas. But what he said, if you go and read that, is he says, there is nothing in this opinion today, this abortion opinion, that has anything to do with those rights. It will not impact them. It should not. But he does go on to say that he thinks the court should engage in a different kind of process for other cases moving forward. And he does mention reexamining the substantive due process rights in cases like Obergefell, which is the one that made same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. So everybody that signed onto this opinion today agrees there is no threat. There should be no threat. Let me read something from Justice Alito to those other key opinions. He says, we have stated unequivocally that nothing in this opinion should be understood to cast doubt on precedents that do not concern abortion. We have also explained why that is so. Rights regarding contraception and same-sex relationships are inherently different from the right to abortion because the latter, as we have stressed, uniquely involves what Roe and Casey termed potential life. It is hard to see how we could be clearer. So while the left will continue to try to make hay out of that, the court has been very clear those rights will not be under attack because of this particular decision today. Dana.
Shannon Bream, thank you. I know you've done incredible work today and have a lot cut out for you the rest of the weekend. Thank you. Martha, one of the things that going into this is about 65% of Americans mistakenly believe that Roe being overturned means that it was just banned all across the country. And what we're trying to explain to people is that this sends the decisions back to the states. Now, in some states, like in New York, you might want to have any changes. But in other states, like perhaps Missouri, for example, or even Texas, you will have significant changes.
That's exactly right. And I'm amazed by how many people, you know, a lot of us and certainly Shannon spend a lot of time focused on the way that the justices approach these sort of decisions. But this, it doesn't just, they don't wake up one morning and say, you know what, we have a majority in the court right now. We sort of are like-minded on this. Why don't we overturn Roe v. Wade? It's not like that. They had a case that came before them. Mississippi had implemented a 15-week ban, which is a shorter ban than was really enshrined in Roe v. Wade, so that it bubbled all the way up to the court. And then they have to make this decision on it. And more than half the states look like they will maintain their abortion rights. And it looks like about half of them will either ban or will have 6-week or 15-week bans, you know, which is a considerable period of time. It's interesting, in our polling, 54% of those say that they think it's right to ban after 15 weeks, which is close to 4 months of pregnancy. They say that seems like a reasonable measure, a reasonable point. So I think when you really get behind this, you realize that it is going to be nuanced. There will certainly be places in the country where it's more difficult to get an abortion. But I would also point out one thing, and that is that we have seen really a complete change in abortion in this country. More than half, or as many as 60% of abortions in the country are done by prescription pill that comes in the mail. They're not done at clinics across the country. That's one of the reasons that you've seen clinics shutting down. It's not just opposition to abortion. It's also that their business is shrinking. And I think a lot of people would say that that's a good thing, a good development in all of this. We remember when Bill Clinton said he wanted to see abortion that was safe and legal and rare. That's not the kind of voices that we're hearing on the other side of this debate right now.
This decision has long been derided, Jessica, as one that was not a good, not a decision well made and an argument well made. And even the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that. And yet, even though this decision had leaked in a memo about 55 days ago, it still can be shocking for some that it turned out the way that it did.
Absolutely. I was definitely one of those people who knew it was coming. And I was on with you guys talking about it the day that the opinion got leaked. And I felt the pain of it, you know, not just for myself, but for millions of women across the country who depend on safe and legal access to abortion and to women's health care more generally. And yes, Ruth Bader Ginsburg had a problem with the opinion. She did not have a problem with the right to abortion. The original case was a privacy case. It was decided 7-2, and the Chief Justice was appointed by a Republican. And I think that that is something that has gotten lost in the conversation today, that people are not using the privacy word enough here. And I do firmly believe that if this was a case, if men were the people that were carrying the children, that this would never have happened. I think that women are being put in a terrible position. The statistics are very clear about who this is going to affect the most. It's women who earn less. It's predominantly women of color. There is a laxness to the idea that it's just easy to cross state lines to just go get an abortion. It's no big deal. I mean, today in West Virginia and Arkansas, immediately all abortions that were scheduled for today moving forward were canceled. And abortions are not just for women that got pregnant by accident because they slept with the wrong guy. It's for medical reasons, protecting the life of the mother. Some of these states are going to have no exceptions for rape or incest. And I find it very hard to believe for the conservatives on TV. I saw Ted Cruz on earlier, you know, touting the ruling that if one of Ted Cruz's daughters got pregnant because she was raped, or God forbid, an uncle or someone got her pregnant, that he wouldn't do everything in his power to make sure that his daughter didn't have to carry that baby to term. The hypocrisy is beyond comprehension here. Republican women get pregnant too. And I'm not saying we can't have a conversation about 15 weeks or 20 weeks. I know a lot of people who are pro-choice have numbers like that. But when this goes back to states, 13 of which have trigger laws that are going to go into effect right away, that means that at 6 weeks, when they don't even have you come in for a heartbeat appointment yet at that point, women are putting in an incredibly unfair position. And I was on with Martha earlier for a discussion about this, and we were talking about what Gorsuch and Kavanaugh had said, and Susan Collins and Joe Manchin have both released statements saying that they were misled. Quote from Justice Gorsuch, "I accept the law of the land." Roe v. Wade was law of the land. He deceived the senators and he deceived the American people, Kavanaugh as well. And there's some language from Amy Coney Barrett that I would add to that.
Okay. You know, Jonathan Turley did push back pretty hard on that.
So
the justices
did Martha.
But Katie, I'll go to you. So there are a lot of women that actually support this decision.
Yes.
As well. And a lot of women who have been pro-life and they have fought for this ruling to be overturned and for the decisions to be sent back to the states.
Right.
As it is now.
Yeah. The number of pro-life organizations, in fact, I think almost all of them are run by women. The Susan B. Anthony List, the March for Life, all run by women. And the narrative is that women disagree with this decision. That's not true. This, for pro-life activists today, is a huge victory they've been working on for five decades. This is something they believe is far overdue, that an injustice against millions of innocent lives inside of the womb has been corrected at a federal level. But the fact is that this is now being sent back to the states. It's actually expanded democracy by allowing 50 state legislatures to debate this, to be accountable to the people in their states about what they want to do. And the fight for the pro-life activists and the pro-abortion activists isn't over. They're going to have to convince the people in their state that an abortion ban, with no exceptions, with exceptions, maybe 15 weeks, like we're about to see in Virginia under Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin, that that is politically feasible and something that the people who live in that state actually want. I mean, the 10th Amendment says anything that is not in the Constitution specifically is sent back to the states and the people who live in those states. And that is what has happened today. And also, when it comes to how we got to this moment, you actually blame Democrats for this in a way. Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't want to retire. She could have retired early. That could have been a Democratic seat put there. Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump after taking advantage and taking for granted the campaign, not working as hard as she could have. And Harry Reid, who was a Senate Majority Leader, changed the rules on the filibuster so it was easier to confirm Supreme Court justices. So for pro-life activists, this is a huge moment in American history, but it's not over. You know, this will continue at the state level, and pro-life groups led by women will continue to fight it in their principle there.
There was one other woman who mentioned, we just want to play this for you. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is her take today. Watch.
What the Supreme Court just did is that they chose to endanger the lives of all women and all burdened people in this country. But not only that, they've chosen to strip rights from men, too.
All birthing people.
Yes.
Greg.
You mustn't forget the birthing people. They are now the most important people on the planet because they're being included in everything. But I think the real injustice today is that I am the only male on this panel. And I'm still not in the center seat.
Oh, poor
Greg. You think about that. What is that? What is that? It's in all seriousness, this is as bad as the Knick trades last night. I don't know if you guys saw that, a little sports humor, because I'm the dude here, one lucky guy. I think there's I'll be short because I'm the only guy here, even though my opinion matters more than all of you combined. There's an obvious one-sentence explanation for both rulings. The guns are in the Constitution, abortion isn't. Let the states figure it out. I know that sounds harsh, but that's actually inarguable. It's not in the Constitution. I do feel bad for liberals in the media. I think someone should check in on the View. Between the gun ruling and this one, we should remove all sharp objects from their set, perhaps their shoelaces. But I think you could have three or four different opinions in your head. For example, you could admit that Roe v. Wade was a deeply flawed ruling. And not only is it overturned, it's ending. That's the important thing. But you could also say, hell, it's been around for 50 years. When something's been around for 50 years, why don't you just let it be, all right? We're already used to it. We don't want to upset the apple cart. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, we've upset a lot of apple carts that we don't like. There have been things that have been around for hundreds of years that we changed. We fought a war over something, okay? You can be, I don't know, you could be confident. Even if you're pro-choice, you can be confident that this will be settled state by state, and it might even, life will even go on for some unborn children, which will be really, really nice. If you don't like COVID regulations, you can vote in new politicians, or you can move to Florida. If you don't like your abortion regulations, you could elect new leaders, or you can move to California or New York. So that is how stuff works here, right? And I also think the decision, it was a great rebuke to the leakers. I believe it was leaked by the Dems because it went to Politico. It didn't go to, like, National Review or Fox News. And that was with the express purpose of foreshadowing liberal outrage that would intimidate and influence the court. And it didn't happen. The court gave them, the ruling showed that you can't scare the court. And I think that's great. It's just too bad that Biden doesn't seem interested in dissuading any of the hysteria that's going on right now. And just that last, I've heard it a couple of times, like, what if men could get pregnant? You can't prove it. I mean, wait, aren't men getting pregnant?
Birthing people.
Yeah, birthing people. So we should defer to them, Jessica. We should defer to them. Birthing people get the final say in everything.
I think you do know what I meant about that. And yeah, but
it's that kind of hypothetical cliche that I always hear. And it's like, you know, well, we've been fighting wars forever. That was our abortion.
Well, I would argue that it actually makes men more accountable for their behavior.
Amen.
Well, let's
that
hope
they
so.
Actually
Amen.
Have to be accountable for what they
I,
do.
And also,
they,
I look forward
also
to seeing
men
all
are allowed
the
to care about life as well.
Exactly.
Well, yeah,
exactly. It's kind of arrogant to think that we don't
absolutely.
Care, even if we don't.
All right. Up next, Democrats telling people to get into the streets as America braces for potential violence over this Supreme Court abortion ruling.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
There is a war out there, and we need to recognize that we've got to armor up.
This far-right, racist, sexist Supreme Court that made this decision based upon politics.
You see this turnout here? You ain't seen nothing yet. The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
AOC and Maxine Waters calling for people to get into the streets as left-wing radicals vow violence in the wake of today's Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe versus Wade. Security being beefed up around the Supreme Court and justices' homes, that while groups like Jane's Revenge are planning a night of rage and said it was open season on the pro-life movement. At least 40 pregnancy centers have been vandalized and activists have been allowed to illegally protest outside justices' homes, with one deranged man trying to assassinate Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And after weeks of silence, President Joe Biden finally calling for peaceful protests.
I call on everyone, no matter how deeply they care about this decision, to keep all protests peaceful. Peaceful, peaceful, peaceful. No intimidation. Violence is never acceptable. Threats and intimidation are not speech. We must stand against violence in any form, regardless of your rationale.
So, Dana, for 6 weeks, we've seen the White House encourage intimidation outside of the justices' homes. And now that Homeland Security is saying there may be real violence, he wants to step in and try and get ahead of it.
Well, and, you know, the attorney general could have arrested any of those protesters at any time because it is against the law, the federal law, to protest outside a justice's home. They didn't do it. And now, actually, the attorney general went to Kyiv, and I'm all for it. Like, go help support the Ukrainians. Great. But on your way out, could you issue a statement or some guidance to the Department of Justice to actually do their jobs and enforce the law? And they didn't do that. So now there was no deterrence. So now Biden, 6 weeks later, is like, oh, and please be peaceful. But nobody's listening to him anyway at this point. Right. So if there is violence, immediately, they've got to put that out or else it will just continue to simmer. And the other thing, of like when Maxine Waters says, screw the Supreme Court, we'll defy them. I mean, the way to do that would be to argue persuasively in the states and to be organized. And I think that they do have a fundamental problem, though, that it seems the left has long had this disconnect with getting a lot of money from a small group of people on this issue. Mm-hmm. And then the voters aren't necessarily there for them because we are, if you look at any of the issues, any of the elections we've had recently, the primaries, what's your number one issue? Inflation, gas prices, crime, immigration, education, missing a couple of others. And then it's like climate change and then abortion.
Right.
So this is really, this is obviously seismic. Who knows? But in November on election night, Martha and I could be sitting there saying, wow, abortion is the number one issue. I just kind of find that hard to believe.
So Jessica,
hard to imagine.
You know, Dana makes the point that these lawmakers on Capitol Hill could say the states need to basically figure this out. Congress also could pass
yes.
laws to
right.
do this. However, the last law they tried to pass was so outrageous and expanded Roe to the point of partial birth abortion that Democrats in Washington, who have a complete majority on everything, can't get it passed. So is the message here to get out in the streets and do what, since legislation seems to be off the table for Maxine Waters?
You need to be very specific when you tell anyone to go anywhere, because there are nutcases amongst all of us, right? We have
yeah.
mental health problems. And political extremism are a terrible mix. And the left and the right both have them. So I don't like any of this talk. I was very happy to see President Biden be so declarative and so clear about this at the at this particular moment. But I've gotten this question a lot today, specifically about doing this in 08 when Obama had the supermajority. Why was there not a codification of Roe on a national level? And I think, unfortunately, that we take too many things for granted and that people have only so much political capital. He knew that the ACA was going to be his crowning achievement. And so he moved on this thing that's gotten health care for over 20 million people. It's a really big deal. And it was hugely important. But now we're looking back at so many decisions like Ruth Bader Ginsburg deciding not to retire, nuking the filibuster, and saying to ourselves, we have something that over 60% of Americans agree about to some level. I'm not saying up until the point of birth, but certainly in the first trimester. And now we're staring down the barrel of potentially half of the states restricting this at the 6-week mark. And we have to be smarter about it. It will not be the number one issue, but it already has jumped 17 points since the leak came out. And this will matter.
Yeah. So, Martha, you know, the debate about this issue is always very heated, and the left just seems like they don't want debate on this. I'm on the board of the Network of Enlightened Women, and they had their annual conference on Capitol Hill today. It's a group of pro-life conservative women. And the conference had to be canceled because of the threats that are happening on Capitol Hill today. So, you know, it doesn't seem like they're open to much debate in the wake of this decision.
Yeah, well, you know, I would say if you're in favor of choice, then you truly should be in favor of choice. So if someone wants to go to a pregnancy center, if they want to carry their baby to term and adopt it, you should be in favor of protecting that right for them as well. So it really makes you question, you know, are you just pro-abortion or are you truly pro-choice? The other thing that I would just mention is that, you know, I look at President Biden, I look at Nancy Pelosi, who are both Catholics, who claim to be both, practicing Catholics. And I didn't hear once from either one of them today, you know, look, my faith is on the side of ending abortion in this country, but I respect that this is the decision that has been made, but from the courts, and I respect people's right to protest. Why don't they say that? Why don't they ever mention their own faith? I looked up, it's been quite a long time since President Biden has brought this part of the story up, and it just seems disingenuous to not say that at this point, and especially say that in the context of, you know, we believe in peaceful protest and make sure that no one is hurt in the carrying out of your protests over this weekend. It would be nice to see some respect for their faith in terms of the way they're talking about this today.
Well, Greg, here we are again. You know, businesses in downtown D.C. are boarding up as we speak, and they're prepared. And the question is, like, why would they be doing that? What's the purpose of the fence outside the Supreme Court today?
I have no, you know, the thing is, you know, for viewers of this show, I think we should tell them that violence is never acceptable, even though there will be no Fan Mail Friday. But you're going to have to just deal with that. Now, if they choose to bump my show, which we taped with Dana at 11 p.m., if they bump it because something's going on in D.C., then all bets are off. You can burn the whole place down, okay? Burn it all down. No, I'm kidding. Actually, that's the funny thing. We never have to tell our fans or Republicans, don't riot.
Yeah.
Have we ever? I mean, it's like Dems rage. It's like it's one word, right? Is there any other kind of rage? We learned that violence is actually an effective tool in influencing justice. You witnessed the Ferguson effect. You witnessed the rioters and the arsonists. During the Floyd riots, they were effectively shielded from exposure because they were the right kind of protest. And they're always the right kind of protest on that side. Meanwhile, you know, if some guy walks around on an unguided tour in January 6th and he's in jail for life for however long he's been in jail. But we've seen this on the left, campuses shutting down, speakers targeted, Trump supporters attacked early on. Remember that? When Trump got elected, you remember that? None of that stuff seemed to matter. Violence became their own language because they felt above and beyond debate. And that's the problem these days in woke culture, is that debate is no longer necessary. You just get violent because those are words. Violence is words. Words are violence.
Can I just add quickly? There has been a lot of violence at Planned Parenthood clinics. There was a federal judge.
And it's unacceptable.
But it exists, and those are right-wingers. Those
Do you
are
want to
not-
go back even further to the 70s when there were thousands of domestic acts of violence during the 70s by the left, not the right? So we can keep going backwards and backwards and backwards, but we only have 30 minutes.
And
I'm not doing the fan
32
mail.
Minutes.
All right, coming up, how Democrats and the media distorted the reality of today's historic Supreme Court abortion decision.
So the Supreme Court's historic ruling to overturn Roe v. Wade now returning the abortion decision back to the states. But none of that is stopping Democrats from claiming that today's ruling is a nationwide ban on all abortion.
The Republicans are plotting a nationwide abortion ban. They cannot be allowed to have a majority in the Congress to do that. But that's their goal. It's such a contradiction. Yesterday, they say the states cannot make laws governing the constitutional right to bear arms. And today, they're saying the exact reverse. The hypocrisy is raging.
So, Jessica, clearly this has been assessed as a very powerful tool for the midterms. And if you fire up people on this idea that the Supreme Court's MO is to ban abortion across the country, rather than an assessment that they've determined that it didn't belong in the Constitution in the first place as a federal right, how fruitful do you think that's going to be for Democrats come midterms?
I don't think there are some projections that we could lose up to 60 seats. It's not going to save you 60 seats. It's not going to save you 40 seats. But I think on the margins, it is going to make a difference. And it's not so much the message about that suddenly you won't be able to go and have an abortion. It's that your vote matters because whoever is in charge gets to pick these people. And we have a lot of young conservative justices that are on there now. And Donald Trump didn't pick old people. He picked people in their 50s.
Right, that's true.
And, you know, they're going to be around for a while making rulings like this. And so I hope that that is the main thrust of this, that every single election, when you look at the midterms, if they take back the House, there goes your chance to codify something, right, on a legislative level. And I think that's where we should be going. Yes, the right to be able to make your own health care decision matters a lot, but it's the fact that it got taken away stems from something bigger than that, which is that people take these things too laxly.
You know, Dana, it seems to me that the action is going to be in the governor's offices and the state legislatures, because that's where this goes.
Yeah, and actually, that's pretty interesting. So Republicans have done fairly well over the last 12 years in state legislatures. And actually, the most popular politicians in America today are Republican governors, most of them in the Northeast. And so that's also where you start to see new talent arise and leadership. And you don't know who it will be. I'm curious about the Hispanic vote on lots of different levels, as you've seen some changes, especially in Texas. And it's like they're not just going from blue to maybe purple and then to red. It's like straight to red. Do not pass go. Do not pass $200. They are going to vote Republican. And I'm not sure how this issue will play into that. But watch the media misrepresentation of this. It's just very frustrating that I feel like, why do we have to be the ones that read the bill and nobody else has to? And it's not fair. It's really not fair because it's unnecessarily hurting the ability to have civil discussion. And I think that we've proven that you can do that here. And I encourage everyone to think about this with grace and dignity and recognize that people have very strong feelings, whatever their feelings may be, and to try to then work this out. My last point is, now that the court has made this decision, no one can just say, well, it's in the Supreme Court's hands. Now it's not. Now it's back in your hands, the people's hands. And so make your voice heard.
Katie.
Midterm elections are usually base elections. The problem, which would be helpful for Democrats in this instance, because abortion is a big issue for Democratic base voters. The problem is that 90% of people are being affected by gas prices. 85% of people say that inflation is destroying their family budget and causing major problems for them when it comes to their future planning and their retirement. So I think those issues certainly dwarf it. But on the issue of abortion that Democrats will use as a political talking point, as Joe Biden did today and as Nancy Pelosi did, Democrats have gone from saying abortion should be safe, legal, and rare in the 1990s to today, not a single presidential candidate who's running as a Democrat will say that they support any kind of restrictions at all. So if you look at the Senate races where Democrats are, you know, maybe Pennsylvania, for example, that question will come up. And the majority of people in this country do believe in abortion restrictions, most of them at 15 weeks. And Democrats believe in no restrictions. So if Republicans can make that clear argument, because the media makes it so that there are, you know, abortions just banned and that they don't talk about the restriction argument, then they can probably push it through. But this is going to be an issue.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's a legitimate political question. Will the ruling energize Dems the way the January 6th hearings won't energize anybody? But it's kind of a strategy to get you to root against your own interests. You know, I sure hope I don't get what I want, because then that will really upset people and they'll come back and just be angrier. The left never does that. We're always expected to be the ones that we better not get what we want, because if we get what we want, oh boy, if the pendulum's going to swing. But the fact is, you know, the Democrats and the media have never thought once about the effects of their mission creep on abortion, or their mission creep on guns, or their mission creep on biology. Yeah. Like, I mean, think about, like, you know, again, the pregnant men, right? They're like, now feminism is no longer feminism unless you accept the hierarchy, you know, where the pregnant male is up on the top, you know? So I think, you know, we don't have to, like, so what if it has an effect? All right. Is that going to change anything that you want? It shouldn't, but they want that. The media wants you to believe that, but they never ask that of the left, right? They never say, do you think this stuff is going to hurt you? Because that's what happened with Youngkin, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
All right. Straight ahead, more on what the Supreme Court's abortion ruling means for the midterms and what top Democrats are saying about it today.
Welcome back. Democrats now trying to make the midterms all about the Supreme Court ruling on abortion.
This fall, Roe is on the ballot. Personal freedoms are on the ballot.
To me, the answer is simple. It's November. It's the ballot box.
Making Roe versus Wade the law of the land. That's what November will be all about.
But make no mistake, again, it's all on the ballot in November.
Well, you know, I don't blame them, Katie. I mean, the economy is in the crapper. They got a president who can't complete a sentence. You got criminals who don't complete their sentences.
Yeah.
So why not, you know, bet all your money on killing unborn children?
Yeah. This is what they're trying to hold on to. I think this is going to fall flat because they're making the argument that this is on the ballot and you need to elect more Democrats. Democrats are in charge right now. They voted on a pro-abortion bill earlier this year that failed because it was so extreme and would allow partial birth abortion and late-term abortion across the country. And they dishonestly said it would codify Roe when it really expanded Roe. Mm. So I'm not really sure the argument of, we're in charge, haven't done this yet, but give us more seats? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Jessica, we saw this year the Democrats going after parents, calling them domestic terrorists. We saw these horribly, almost nearly violent school board meetings, which were terrible. Now that you're going to go after unborn children, Jessica, is the Democratic Party no longer the party for families?
I don't think that we were ever
a party
that.
For families.
No, we were, but that's you guys.
You have.
Deserted. It's conservative.
Yes or no, Jessica?
I object. I want to say something else. So there's...
Uncle.
Something that's going on. So when the leak happened, conservatives only focused on the leak. They didn't actually want to talk about the implications of this. And I think that there will be a lot of Republicans out there, especially in purplish districts, people who had people that supported them in 2016, but then voted for Biden out there, where this ruling will matter. So there is a way to capitalize on it that way. And that's what I would prefer to say.
What do you make of this, Martha? We haven't talked about
you
this
yet. You
know what?
I do have a new thought on this, and it is that I think that Katie is right. One of the things that happened with the leak, it came out early, it sort of diffused the acceptance and understanding over a longer period of time, and I think that the people who are fired up on cable news networks about this do not actually represent the rest of the country.
Absolutely.
Like I said before, abortion's been declining. It's down 20% in the last 15 to 20 years, and also with these over-the-counter medications that can end a pregnancy quickly, it is not the issue that it once was. And I think with Dana's great point about Hispanic vote, family vote, the Democrats are feeling, they are so in such trouble with the Hispanic voters that honestly, I don't see how you can win an election if you lose. If you were at 78% Biden with Hispanic voters, and now you're at 20-something, 30-something. That's a tough equation.
Last word, Dana.
Well, when Nancy Pelosi says that it's on the ballot, well, Republicans get to vote, too, mm-hmm. in this election. And I think that Republican enthusiasm may have been dampened if this court had not ruled the way that it did, right? Because of all the work, as Katie was saying, decades of work that have gone into being able to find a case that would overturn it. And the last thing I would point out is that Terry McAuliffe down in Virginia, when he was running against Youngkin, they tried to make it all about abortion.
Right.
And in the end, in the exit poll showed that of the people who thought abortion was the most important issue, 60% of them voted for Youngkin.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, up next, more major Supreme Court decisions this week, including a big ruling on gun rights.
Another big Supreme Court ruling is still reverberating through America. The top court striking down New York's law that restricts concealed carrying of guns. Democratic leaders in the media blasting the decision.
Ooh, look at that.
We believe that the decision was shocking in its scale and also reprehensible, given that we are experiencing a nationwide gun violence crisis. To those who are cheering this, say, we never were taking away your right to possess a gun. Well, we have a right to restrict who has it and where they use this gun.
We suffer this violence because of six conservatives on the Supreme Court. It is their fault. And until we start acting like it, we will continue to suffer the violence.
Katie, I'm going to come to you first on this. What did you see as the main takeaways from yesterday's ruling?
Well, first, I want to address the conflation between law-abiding concealed carry holders, of which there are millions and most lawful group of people in this country, and they conflate it always with the criminals who get their guns illegally and then shoot people with them, which is also illegal. The main takeaway is this. What Clarence Thomas said about the Second Amendment is crucial. It's a constitutional right that is not a second-class right. It's a first-class right, and it shouldn't be treated differently than all of the other amendments. And so I think that's the key takeaway, and local governments don't have the right to restrict you from carrying a firearm outside of your home for lawful purposes.
Well, Greg, Governor Hochul thinks that the answer to this is to increase the number of sensitive areas, which is what's gone on in D.C. as well. Do you think that this will be the tack that liberal governors are taking all over the country now?
There's an error in your question. Hochul doesn't think. There's nothing in that head. I will make a prediction. Crime unrelated to this ruling will be blamed on the ruling. Right. All of a sudden, there'll be like an explosion of gun crime, and it won't be from permit to carry. Trust me, but they will blame it. You know that this was a great ruling, and the reason why it caused Keith Olbermann to call for the Supreme Court to be destroyed. Right. He said it's a dissolution. An insane response from an insane person theoretically means it's a good thing. If he had liked it, I would have really been worried.
I think it's the first time people have talked about Keith Olbermann in a really long time.
Yes. He's
probably really thrilled that calling for the end of the Supreme Court finally got people talking about him again.
We should throw a picture up of him because no one knows who he is.
No, don't do that.
All right. Okay. There was something else that happened in the gun world. We have a bipartisan gun bill that passed today. Did you think that this was possible? What do you think the implications are?
Because the Democrats really did not get what they wanted in this bill. But the Republicans were able to advance something that actually deals with things that they've been talking about, which is people who should not have a gun should not be allowed to get a gun. And dealing with mental health concerns and background checks. So I think it's good that they could get it done. And I don't think that it's certainly not the parade of horribles that the conservatives thought it might be, although I know that there are some that really hate it. But the Democrats certainly didn't get what they needed here.
No.
Or wanted.
They got something. And anything helps in this area. So up next, more on the breaking news with the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade.
It will be.
Protests happening across the country right now over the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade and sending the issue of abortion back to the states. We've talked about it all hour. We'll get final thoughts. Start with you.
Well, I think that the real protests are going to start if my show gets bumped at 11 o'clock for this noise. We already see these people. We know what they do. Why do we have to keep showing it? Watch my show. You got Dana Perino. You got Joey Jones. You got Kat Timp. You got, oh boy.
Liz McDonald.
It's a great show. Oh, you're not going to want to miss it. That's my final thought.
Final thought, Katie.
I'm going to protest as well if I don't get to watch Gutfeld tonight when I get home from New York City.
Will there be counter protests, Katie?
Yeah, there have been counter protests. There are lots of pro-life groups at the Supreme Court today. They had a different attitude towards this. They're very celebratory.
Yes.
So congratulations to all of them and the people who have worked for 50 years to protect the most vulnerable human beings in our society.
And Jessica, final thought?
No so, violence, but peaceful protest, all that you want. It's an incredibly important issue for people on both sides of this. Call your legislators, your local legislators now, call your governors. Make sure you turn out to vote. State and local elections matter often a lot more than what happens on the federal level. Yeah. And mobilize safely and responsibly to ensure that at some point women get this very important right back.
And Martha.
Yeah, I'm going to anchor Fox News Sunday this weekend. We'll talk to Lindsey Graham. And one of the things I find really fascinating about this whole thing is the big picture, that you look at a one-term president so far who had three picks in one term, and the transformative nature of that, along with Mitch McConnell, is an extraordinary story, and we're going
to
dig into
it. And also, if you go back to the Bush administration and Alito.
Yes, that's right.
And that one was also transformative, you could say. I'll be on Tucker Carlson at 8 p.m. as well. So you're going to just keep seeing us all night long.
Right.
That's it for us, though. Now we will see you back here on Monday. Bye-bye.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.